Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's right. Hold your kitties tight. It's a cold night here in Wyoming. It's a bad night to have your car break down, but people do. You can call in at 1-855-660-4261. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you awake, please call in at 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype to username kittyfeet1, like the feet of a cat and then the number one, kittyfeet1. We got Nikki Darling. Hello, Nikki Darling.
Hello. How's it going?
And she's not calling in. She's one of our regularly scheduled interesting insomniac co-hosts. And she's in quite a mood tonight, aren't you?
I guess. I just chugged down my special coffee with coconut oil, so feeling rambunctious.
Don't blame the drugs. You're just in a good mood. You don't need them. You don't need them to be happy, but they help.
My hipster drugs.
So I did a good deed tonight. I can turn my Bobcat badge over because it was really easy good deed to do. I got an email from Antigone Darling, no relation to Nikki Darling, but you know each other, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and she was with William Kostrick driving and was broken down. And I'm not bragging about a good deed. I'm just saying this because there's actually people out there listening who know about this from Facebook and are worried and trying to help her. And it's like, it's done, people. You can just relax. Michael Dean's in the house. So, you know, she's like, I'm broken down in a truck in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Are you near there? And I'm like, yeah, like 4 hours from there. But I know one guy in Cheyenne, and he happens to be a mechanic, and he happens to live 4 miles from where they were broken down. And I called him up. He went over there, and he fixed their truck, and they're on their way. And he's I'll give a shout-out to him. He is Anthony Bouchard of the Wyoming Gun Owners Association, who are so pro-gun. I'm a member. It's the only gun rights organization I'm a dues-paying member of. They are so pro-gun, they make the NRA look like Nancy Pelosi. I'm serious, man. They really do.
Nice.
I mean, they're going after our gun-grabbing governor who ran on a platform of, I will respect your Second Amendment rights. I mean, the only thing he talked about was guns. He just sent out postcards saying, I love guns. I have six AR-15s. Neiman and I went shooting with the guy. I'm ashamed to say this. We probably helped him get elected. We did a news piece on all the governor candidates. And basically, we didn't help him get elected probably. But what we did was we got them on camera, on record, on TV, and now it's on YouTube, claiming, I will protect your rights. And he's not doing that. Not at all.
Yeah. What other rights is he protecting or against?
The right to put Common Core in the Wyoming schools.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's a Republican. Hey, we got a phone call here. Let's see who's calling in here. Let's see. This is James from Beaver Dam, Kentucky, wants to talk about health care. All right, I'll bite. Are you there, James?
I'm here.
Hey, now do you want to talk about health care or do you want to talk about the Obama forced insurance, which is not the same as health care?
Well, I want to tell you about a health care thing I've seen here. It's a law that you can opt out of it if you want to.
Oh, tell me about it.
And I can read it for you if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
No individual, company, business, nonprofit entity, or health insurance issuer offering group or individual health care coverage shall be required to participate in any federal health insurance program created under the act or the amendment made by this act.
Huh. Now, is that, and this, is that I get the gist of it, and it's legalese, and it probably goes on for 460 pages, but
no,
is that a state law, or what is that?
No, it's not state law. It's in the Health Care Act itself.
Really?
42 U.S.C. Section 18115.
So you found the loophole.
freedom not to participate in federal health care insurance programs.
Wow. What's the section number again? I want to write that down.
42 USC section 18115.
All right. I'm going to, yeah. Huh. I'm looking at something on the, well, there's something on the, Snopes site about this, and Snopes debunks things that people believe are true. Says it's false.
Guess where guess where I get this from?
The Cornell
University.
Yeah, I saw it was on the Cornell site too. I'm gonna have to deal with this later and have my legal eagle run her eyes over this. But what I have not signed up. I saw in the news today that today was the deadline. But and this is not legal advice, but I'll tell you what my insurance lady told me.
Okay.
She told me that the deadline, the real deadline, isn't until the 31st of this year. And she said, I called her up and I said, do I need to buy insurance from you? Now, this is an honest salesperson. Most people would say, yeah, you got to buy it from me right now. Get down to my office. She said, no, you can wait until December 31st and not pay the penalty. That's what she told me.
What I'm fixing to say, sir, is like for these older people and stuff that's on like Medicare and stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder on them. They premium, my friend is paying $200 and some just for a premium.
Wow.
Up front. And also, it's just a scam.
Yeah,
I agree.
I've not signed up. Have you signed up, Nikki?
Oh, heck no.
Yeah. Have you signed up there, James?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, are you listening on the radio in Kentucky?
I'm listening on the internet.
Oh, because we're on the radio, really. You're probably just out of the range of it, but we're on a station in Illinois that just barely, you know, if you ever drive to Paducah, you could certainly listen on the radio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're on one station. Are you listening on the GCN feed or the Free Talk Live, the LRN feed?
GCN.
The GCN feed? Cool, man.
Yeah.
And you like the show?
Very cool.
You having fun?
Yeah. And when I look at, I see, I'm what they call a, they can call a conspiracy theorist. I look into things, and I look into them before I get the word out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look into more stuff, and I'll get it out there.
Cool, man. It's good to hear. Hey, let's, it's good to hear freedom fixes about tyranny, but tell me something else. What are you hopeful about? You know, a lot of people, especially on late night shows, they're like, things are horrible. Let me tell you about it. But I like to go to bed with something good on my mind. What's making you hopeful these days?
Well, what I'm hopeful about, I'm hopeful that things will work out better for the United States, but it just gets about worse and worse every day with the president we got.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch the
news.
And
I'm not a racist. I just, you know, he just destroying this country. He's making change, all right.
Yeah, yep. I agree. He's not a good man, and yeah, it's not.
Some people even think he might be the evil one they're talking about in the Bible.
Oh, tell us about that.
Because I watched this website, and he was talking at this he was talking to these people. And he said he was like more or less mocking the Bible.
Yeah, I don't know if I think he's the actual Satan. I think it's more like, and when he mocks the Bible, I think it's more that he wants to be God. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next time I'm on here, I got something to tell you. I got something to tell you to blow your socks off.
Well, cool. Let's save that for next time. I really appreciate your call, James. Call in anytime. I'm going to go and get another call here.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. We got the other caller here. Oh, the other caller left. All right, so Nikki, what do you think about that? You think Obama's the devil or just really, really bad?
I don't really believe in the devil, but I do think he has a tinge of narcissism.
A tinge of narcissism?
Maybe more than a tinge, but people generally that like control are narcissists. People who seek jobs that control others are narcissists.
Yeah. Do you like that letter I wrote to the police today? That was pretty funny, wasn't it, this morning?
Yeah, it was nice in a way. You weren't being mean. Yeah,
polite.
It was polite.
Yeah,
you used honey instead of vinegar.
I'm going to read that one. I got an email today from somebody, I won't say his last name. It's a assistant deputy in Virginia. His first name's Matthew. And he wrote me and asked me about an image on our website. It's an image of a bunch of heroin bags or smack bags. And he said, the reason I'm contacting you is the usage of the image. And he linked it. He said, I'm a sheriff deputy for the Prince William County Sheriff Office in Virginia. I'm planning a PowerPoint presentation and would like to have your permission to include it in a slide. I would appreciate a response back either way. Thank you for your time. And I wrote back, good morning, deputy. That image is from a Lower East Side New York City art exhibit. Those are not actual heroin smack bags, but rather silk screens on fabrics of designs from smack bags from the 70s. So unless you're doing a presentation on what great movies Serpico or The French Connection were, and they were, or how zany some New York artists are, they are, I really think it's going to make you look foolish to use it in an internal dog and pony show PowerPoint presentation on anything remotely connected to modern LEO issues. That's law enforcement officer issues. Yep. Just trying to save you the embarrassment. Have a good day. And please remember your oath to the Constitution and your office's mission statement, and I looked this up on their site, to serve the citizens of Prince William County. Michael W. Dean, co-host, Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. I had fun with that one.
Yeah, I thought it was a good response.
Yeah, and I CC'd it. I sent it after I sent it to him. I sent it to a few friends, including you and Adam Kokesh. And, you know, he's left Virginia for the bright lights of the big city of Los Angeles to become a movie star or the anarchy president or both. But, you know, I'll bet he's still interested in dumb things that cops in Virginia do. So I figured he'd get a laugh out of that because his life was kind of made heck by a bunch of dumb cops doing dumb things in Virginia. They arrested him for standing in the Capitol and standing on the street when no one was around at 6 a.m. with a gun in his hand, cocking a shotgun for a video. He made like a 20-second video and got arrested for it.
Yeah, ironically at Freedom Plaza.
Yep. Freedom, the irony. Yeah. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark Talk Radio Show.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean of Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark, opting out of Obamacare since April Fool's Day 2014. So wait, they made April Fool's Day? That's the real day you're supposed to do it? That's kind of funny.
I think it was yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Supposedly, but the website was down most of the day.
Yeah, so we just released a new version of Meowbit, and I was thinking maybe we should wait till tomorrow. I'm like, Derek, do we really want to release a new version on April Fool's Day? People might think it's a joke, but it's not. It's just a better version that resolves all .bit domains, not just most .bit domains. So you can go to meowbit.com and free yourself from the tyranny of government-controlled domains and get a .bit domain and surf some .bit domains and be able to view .bit domains like michaelwdean.com. After that's taken down, you'll be able to see michaelwdean.bit. So, Nikki?
Yes. Nikki. Yes.
What do you do? What do you do with yourself?
Multiple ways of scratching by, and I do like to make as little as possible to get by, because I feel like the more I make, the more I have to give or get taken from.
I was going to say that first part sounded kind of selfish. I don't want to give.
No. I love giving.
I want to make as much money as possible so I can help people out, like, you know, Ben Stone. If you want to help Ben Stone get to Porkfest, go to badquaker.com and you can contribute. He has been asked to speak at Porkfest, and he spoke there last year into a packed house and everyone loved him. And they're asking him to come back, but actually they're giving him some money, but they're not giving him enough money to fully get there comfortably. So if you want to help out, you can. And you can win a microphone. You have one more day to win a microphone. We're having a contest. It's the same mic Nikki's using. It's a pretty good mic. Talk, Nikki.
Hello. This is a beautiful mic. You'll love it.
I didn't mean to be like, speak, Nikki, which is kind of weird because Ben Stone's dog is named Nikki. And whenever I'm talking to him on the phone, he's usually like out walking his dog and he's like, come on, Nikki, come on. I'm like, wait, Nikki? What? But no. So yeah, you can hear how good it sounds when Nikki talks. So you could go to badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com. And you can win a microphone without any money being entered. All you have to do is post somewhere about the fundraiser for Bad Quaker, which is going on for another 2 weeks. But the contest is going on for another day and a half. So do that. So Nikki, you make art though too. You're a really, really great photographer and you make some groovy jewelry. Where can people find this stuff?
Thank you. I have an Etsy store. It's called Nikki Darling Art. And if you have gauged ears, you can buy earrings from me or regular earrings, necklaces, and I will be adding knitted goods to them soon. So,
excellent. I don't know what an Etsy store is. You don't have like a .com or a .bit that links
Etsy,
to all that?
Etsy is like the eBay for handmade goods, only there's no auction. It's ETSY.com, and everything should be handmade there, except for and vintage. And you can also support me with Bitcoin. And you can actually use Bitcoin through Etsy. It's a different kind of process, but it works, and they get their cut too.
Auctions make me crazy. Do like buying from them or selling from them. I don't like them. Do you like them?
Yeah. No, I don't. But Etsy isn't auctions, but it's like eBay without the auctions, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Cool.
It's a great site to get all your fun cat stuff, too.
I got something today on good. That's good to know because I like cat stuff. I got something today. I bought some more catnip and got a cat butt magnet set, and it comes with a little book. It's like $6, and it comes with a little book called Cat Butt Field Guide of North America. It's a guide to recognizing your cat butts. It's a goofy little fun gift, but the cat for ourselves, but the cat butt refrigerator magnets are awesome. I highly recommend them.
Well, there's somebody on Etsy who makes these, it's called Dice Rear Gear, and they make these little butt covers for animals.
Butt covers?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Like, they cover that.
What does it protect them from? Or is it, like, from shame? What are you saying?
Yeah, I guess it's, like, shame.
Oh, come on. There's no shame in animals. That's in the Bible, man. Cats, animals don't need clothes because they're no shame.
I will send you this link. It'll make you chortle.
I like for to chortle. Yes, yes. Excellent. Etsy. Oh, cat. Oh, I see what it is. Yeah, it's okay.
It ties onto the tail and it. I guess
it looks like a flower. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. And you know, we forget that people can't see what we're looking at on these links we're sending back and forth. But I will say we're sending them back and forth over Pigeon, which is encrypted. It's PIDGEN. Is it, Nikki? What is it?
Something like that. GON, I believe.
No, that's not like the bird, though. It's PIDGIN. And it's
That's
off
it.
The record, PIDGIN. Look that up, PIDGIN and then OTR for off the record. You want that. That's better than encrypted email because there's not even a record. It's only in your brain, man. We'll be back after this trip to the market where you can get feisty new cat butts with Bitcoin.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean, and we are live on the radio right now. Yes. And that was our board op, Nathan, not watching the clock. And we point that stuff out here because this is a teaching hospital. Michael Dean After Dark is where we train the new Liberty Radio hosts of the future and apparently the board ops. Yeah, you got to point that out, though, man. You got to watch your atomic clock. You got to have your eye on the prize of the clock. And then you got to build the custom for 20 seconds before you put phone callers on, even if you know them to be good Christian, God-fearing people who'd never cuss on the radio with good Old Testament names like Ishmael. And, you know, you just never know. I don't want no one to cuss on my radio show, so I need to be able to dump them, to flush them. Yeah, that's Mr. Michael Dean talking on Michael Dean After Dark. Nikki, what are you thinking? You know this cat that's calling in, Ish, from Woodbridge, Virginia?
I know him via Facebook, even though he probably lives like 45 minutes from me. But yeah.
We're all
hermits.
You know, my wife lived 30 miles from me before I met her, and I never, ever would have met her. I met her on the internet. It's pretty
Aww.
Cool. I'm not saying you should marry Ishmael. I mean, we don't. No. Let's talk to him first.
I have a boyfriend.
All right. So we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Ishmael calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Are you there, Ish?
Hi.
Hey. What's up, man?
Not much. You know, just like you guys can't sleep.
Yep.
You can't sleep? All right. What's on your mind? This is kind of funny because it says that what's on your mind is Jeffrey's article. And, you know, there's a lot of Jeffreys in this world. And there's Jeffrey Tucker. And Jeffrey's written hundreds of articles. But I'll bet I know the article you're talking about. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. What's the article?
You're
talking about the libertarian brutalism article, right?
Yeah.
What do you want to say about it?
Well, I just wanted to know what's your opinion first before I, state my opinion.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What?
I just want to know what did you think before I stated my opinion. I'd just like to know.
Okay, well, I've done two shows where I talked about it. My first opinion of it was that it was really stupid, and that it was bashing libertarians who don't wear bow ties and put their pinky up when they drink a cocktail, like anybody who cusses or has a pulse or has a good time. But then I found out it was actually about four people in particular, and I think that Jeffrey Tucker was kind of a little puss cat by not naming those people by name, and it made them really confusing, and he should have named whoever he was talking about, so the rest of the world wouldn't have thought it was all about us.
I don't know.
I haven't heard that someone say that about that article. That's new to me.
Which part?
About it being about specific people. I don't know.
Oh, it's absolutely about specific people. It's about Chris Cantwell. It's about two people who run the Belgian chapter of Center for Stateless Society, and I've heard the fourth person it's about is Lou Rockwell.
Boy.
What? This is what I heard, man.
What's a source? Can you tell us
can't
a source?
Can't name my source.
Okay.
Someone that heard it from Jeffrey Tucker that's close personal friends with him that I trust, who's a good friend of mine.
Okay. Now, Ish, when you read the article, were you thinking of anybody in your head?
Chris would be, but it's not about any specific person. It's just an attitude that some people have in general.
But yeah, I agree with you.
Can you speak up a little, Ish? You're on a really horrible sounding cell phone, and I can only hear about every other syllable because it's cutting off when you're talking quietly. So can you talk a little louder, and then maybe next time what you should do is you should install Skype on your phone and call into our Skype.
Possible to come back on Skype? I have it. kittyfeet1.com.
Yeah, why don't you come back on Skype, man? Come back on kittyfeet1, K-I-T-T-Y-F-E-E-T 1 on Skype. You'll sound a lot better. Thanks, man. Thanks for your call. We'll call. Talk to you soon. All right. Yeah, man. We're all about the good audio here on Michael Dean. Michael Dean After Dark. And, you know, why do we have to suffer through the way? You know, I actually have an article out today in Talkers Magazine about specifically that. It's mainly about guests, but it also applies to hosts. And it's about getting the most out of your guests. And it's got audio tips to get your guests better. And one of the tips is if they're on a cell phone, tell them to Skype in with Skype on their cell phone and they're going to sound better.
Yeah. Or you have Creamy Radio Audio, too, as well, right?
Yeah, I have a website, creamyradioaudio.com, which is all about caviar sound on a cat food budget, you know? We got
We got
Nikki sounding good for not a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, this is great compared to the first time I was on with you all.
I know, man. Yeah, you were using a good mic, which sounded better than that cell phone call, which sounded horrible. I mean, how long were we going to suffer through that? You know, I couldn't understand every other syllable, but
yeah, I don't know. I just try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know, man. I don't know if radio is the place to do that. I'll give people the benefit of the doubt in what they're saying, but I don't even know what he was saying. It sounded so horrible, you know?
Yeah, there was a caller called into Free Talk Live, and his like kid was screaming in the background, oh, and then like a train went by.
That fight yesterday or the day before, where they had the guy that calls in all the time named Witt, the libertarian, so-called libertarian that says he wants to bomb everyone back to the Stone Age in the Middle East. Yeah, that war-loving guy who claims to be libertarian but isn't. They had that guy with a guy who has bashed him before in a very sensible manner. They got them on. They put them both on and like, oh, this will be good radio. And I guess it was good radio. It was kind of the worst radio I've ever heard, but it was kind of cool because it was like, wow, this is bad. And they're screaming at each other because their audio was so bad. All you could hear was like, you know,
it's like turkeys fighting.
Yeah, it was like turkeys fighting for about, I mean, yeah, it was for like one segment. If it was any longer than that, I mean, I turned it off and went and did dishes, which made more sense, but
yeah,
it was funny.
I didn't hear that, but yeah, they do have that other caller too, that guy from New York.
I don't know. I wouldn't put people that are, I wouldn't put abrasive people on the radio for a long time. I don't think it's good radio, and I'm not telling Free Talk Live how to do their business because obviously they're doing it in a way that people like, but I have to make the media that I like because, you know, I listen to our shows. I make the media I want to, in everything I do, I make the media I want to consume. I make the movies that don't exist yet. You know, I always said with my band Bomb, it was really cool to be at every gig of the coolest band that ever was, even though I never saw us because I was never in the audience because I was the singer and the bass player. But if that band had already existed, I just would have been their roadie or sound guy, man. I would have just been with them no matter what and helped them out because they were that good.
Yeah. Audio is important, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Nikki.
Yes.
Talk more about art.
I've been an artist my entire life. This is a pretty interesting story. I graduated high school barely by the skin of my teeth. In 1999, I slipped and fell and broke my leg and missed half of my senior year because I was laid up with a broken leg. And at graduation, I was really unhappy, didn't want to be there. I was the only female that wasn't wearing a dress. I just didn't care. I threw on some nasty clothes and showed up. And
you don't mean salacious. You mean like out of the pile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you mean, yeah, like just stuff you'd paint the house in or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. And so I actually graduated high school at DAR Constitution Hall downtown in D.C.
I've been to a show. I saw a band called Oregon at that concert hall, Constitution Hall, about 20 years ago. It was a weird jazz fusion band.
I saw the Pixies there. That was a great show.
Yeah.
But anyway, after the graduation, I left early. I didn't care about pictures or anything. And I went across the street and sat on these benches. My mom came over and she's just like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I don't know what I want to do with my life." And she said, "Look up. Look where you're sitting." And I said, "Where?" And she goes, "This is an art school. Do you want to go to art school?" And I said, "Yeah, maybe." My dad wanted me to join the Air Force because that's what he was in. And so we went to the recruiter's office and they told me I was too fat.
Aww,
yeah, even though I wasn't.
You're not fat, though.
Yeah. No, I'm not. And then we went over to the Navy and they're like, oh, you're fine. You can be a photographer in the Navy. It'll be great. I never ended up taking the test. I ended up going to community college for 6 months, getting straight.
Oh, hey, Ishmael, are you there?
Yep.
I think we lost Nikki, though. Nikki, you still there?
Nikki? Ah, we lost Nikki. Let's get Nikki back here. Yeah. All right. Call on hold. Are you there, Nikki?
Yeah, I'm here.
Phone quality.
Oh, this is better, man. I mean, this sounds tinny, but it doesn't sound like an alien. Go ahead, man. What do you want to know about? What do you want to talk about?
Well, as I was saying, when I read that article, I was kind of in the middle because I do agree that there is an image problem with libertarianism in general.
Bingo.
Like I'm not a, you know, left libertarian or a feminist or something like that, but based on what I've seen on Facebook and social media, I mean, sometimes people do come off as jerks and it kind of pushes people away.
Well, I think that there's a difference between being a jerk and being overt. And I am overt, but not a jerk. Like, I will, you know, if someone calls in or even talks to me in person and they're like, well, I don't understand this libertarianism. You know, I mean, are you in favor of decriminalizing marijuana? And I'm like, I haven't done any drugs in 20 years, but I think heroin should be legally available in vending machines on street corners. And that's shocking, but I absolutely believe that. And I will start with like the hit you over the head, bottom line truth of like, I'm not messing around. I'm not talking about, oh, let's make things better. You know, I'm kind of brutal in that way. But I think I'm a pretty kind person and, you know, help old ladies across the street and help young hipsters get their car started when they're stuck in the middle of Cheyenne, even though I've never met them. So I'm not brutal, but I can sound brutal.
Right, but my issue is how I've seen people be abrasive for no reason.
To you or to other people?
Mostly other people, because I usually just, you know, stay in the sidelines.
Me too. I don't engage, man. Yeah.
I don't.
You guys are lurkers.
Yeah, I don't even lurk, man. There's so many people that want you to, like, pull you into their argument. Like, there was that thing the other day that you posted, Nikki. It was funny. It was about somebody wants people to boycott Firefox because the CEO is pro-gay or anti-gay or something. I didn't even read it. I'm like, I've got enough beefs of my own without joining all the other ones people want me to join. So what's your takeaway from that article? What do you want to say about it?
Well, he gets it mostly right. I just wish like he just worded it better so people weren't as confused.
I just wish he named the four people he was talking about. Do you want to stick around over the break, Ishmael? All right, we'll keep you on. Thanks, man. Yeah, clear the throat. Back after this trip to the vending machine.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, on Michael Dean After Dark, and we're discussing tonight the subject of the growing problem of libertarian creepos, which, you know, a lot of people out there, a lot of statists think that all libertarians are creepos, even the nice ones, because they think that we want babies to starve and grandma to die because we don't want really bad health care forced on us, and they think that the only way to get things done is the government. And that's not true, man. There's so many better ways to get things done. But I guess, you know, there's this young generation of libertarians coming up. I'm going to be 50, so I can do the old guy voice. There's this young generation of libertarians coming up, and, you know, some of them think that the cool thing is to be creepy or to be mean. And, you know, I don't know. There's some people that deserve having people be mean to them. But there's others that don't. And I don't know. I just always say it's nice to be nice. What do you think, Ish?
Yeah, I agree. It is nice to be nice. And it's actually more effective than, you know, just yelling at people all the time for no reason.
Yeah, like that letter I wrote to the cop today in Virginia who wanted to use an image off our website. And you can listen to it. If you didn't hear it earlier, Ish, you can go back and listen in a couple hours. This episode will be up on the michaelwdean.com site. And you can hear it. It's a funny letter to a deputy in Virginia who wrote me and asked me for a favor. And I politely said, go jump in the lake. But I was pretty polite about it. I helped him out, actually. So tell me more about this growing problem of libertarian meanies.
Well, when I talked about, you know, in, let's see, 2007, 2008, you know, that was when Ron Paul was running for the first time. And I was talking about, you know, economics and, you know, not having compulsory education and things like that. And what my friends at the time were saying is like, oh no, Republicans just hate the poor and all this stuff. They associate libertarians with Republicans because of this image issue.
Well, because yeah. Ron Paul was running as a Republican too. So.
Right, right. But like when I bring up other people, they just hear the word libertarian, they just associate them with, you know, being conservatives, but just
or
more
Tea Partiers.
Yeah, Tea Partiers was another one.
Which people don't realize that Ron Paul may have started the Tea Party, but he left the Tea Party because it became overrun by religious zealots.
Oh, the thing he started, actually he didn't start it, it was some of his fans had a Tea Party protest on tax day, about 6 years ago maybe. And,
well, he was into it at first.
Yeah, but by the time anybody had heard of it on the news, it was really co-opted and not even just watered down, but completely turned into like opposite land. You know, the Republicans kind of picked up on this old thing, this Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan thing of sounding like anarchists. I mean, the hero of the Tea Party is that guy, I forget his name, Norquist, who said, oh, I don't want to eliminate government. I just want it so small I can drown it in a bathtub, which is totally that's an anarchist thing to say. And but they're not really anarchists. You know, they talk small government, but, you know, and it's funny, too, because they don't like my kind of libertarian and Nikki's kind of libertarian. I mean, it's like, wait, you don't want any government? And I'm like, hey, man, you're the one that's always talking. You guys, you Republicans are always talking about how small government you are. I'm just saying we're way more small government than you. What's your problem with that? And they just go, well, I don't know.
Well, when you're talking to people about it, though, you really have to preface that this isn't something that's going to happen overnight, but it needs to be phased out carefully.
I don't talk to people about it, which is kind of my macho libertarian flash of like, and that's what I'm trying to delineate here. There's a thing called libertarian macho flash. I call it macho libertarian flash, which is like, decriminalize marijuana. No, of course you should have assault rifles and heroin in vending machines. And I believe there should be. And I go straight to that. And that's macho libertarian flash, but it's not mean. You know, I do not say, you know, screw welfare. Poor people should starve to death. Babies should starve. They've picked the wrong parents. I've actually heard stuff like that. I've heard it more from small government Republicans than real libertarians. But, you know, that's not really being mean. So any closing comments there, Ish?
Well, no. Thank you for having me on the show. Hopefully
thanks, man.
Get a better
awesome.
Yep. Time. Call in anytime.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Good night.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things you don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
You're never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
È stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark. That didn't have any effects on it. That was just Michael Dean After Dark. I think I waited the 10 seconds I was supposed to. My board op told me that there's secret tones that implant messages in your brain during that music. Although, I don't know. I don't hear the tones there. I hear them on the breaks between ads or before ads or after the local ads and the network ads and before the local ads. I'm not really sure. What do you think, Nikki? Can you hear secret tones in there? To brainwash us and trigger machines at radio stations all around the country?
No, but I'm wearing my tinfoil hat, so...
I have an aircraft-grade titanium hat. None of this tinfoil hat crap for me.
It's like,
man,
a helmet.
It's a helmet. It was created by in the Czech Republic in the former in Czechoslovakia. Actually, it was some people broke all of the communist rules to have a secret foundry to build aircraft grade titanium hats made out of recovered crashed. There was a B-52 bomber that crashed in the Alps, and they melted it down and hand forged it into special hats. They actually have Viking horns on them also, just for style.
Everything before 1982 was better.
Not computers, man.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about like appliances and helmets,
microphones. Well,
were they
good microphones? Yeah, but cheap microphones are better now. There was really not, yeah, cheap microphones back then were horrible. Cheap microphones now are great,
and
which is why I don't understand why people sound like crap, and I don't understand why phone calls sound like crap. I think it's more of a network issue than a microphone issue, because he was not using the same microphone. See, he didn't do what I was hoping he'd do. He did what he wanted to do, which is okay because we're that way. But what I wanted him to do was to Skype in on the same phone he was calling in, because I want to know that sounds better, because Ian Freeman says it does. But he would know.
He could be like me, where he has a dumb phone and not a smartphone,
like a jitterbug.
Yeah,
you know what a jitterbug is?
Yes,
it's what the old people have. That have they're really dumb phones. They're cell phones that only have numbers on them. There's no internets or anything, and it's
and
like
huge.
The numbers are huge. Yeah,
yeah. No, I just have this old looking. It looks like a BlackBerry, but it's not. It's like a fake.
So you want to talk about art? You wanted me to tell my story about the drummer, right?
Yes, Brian, okay. Right?
Yeah. Well, let's just call him Brian. I don't want to say his real name, but I used to play in this band with this guy named Michael Urbano, who is a really, really great drummer. He was in my band Slish, and he was kind of slumming playing in Slish. He was trying to get us signed, and he was going to do a development deal where he did some showcases with us, invited some industry people he knew, recorded a demo, and got us signed. But we were recently sober. He was many years sober. We were recently sober, the other guy in the band and I, and we were insane. Not really insane, just, you know, people in early recovery like don't often deal well with stress. And we were just, we were literally almost having fist fights on stage. And it wasn't like the interesting kind of thing, like Oasis, you know. It was more like slap fights and just bitterness, and like it drove people out the door and of the club. So that band broke up, but we did some great music and recorded it. And Michael Urbano was in Smash Mouth and Cracker, and played with John Hiatt and Sheryl Crow and a whole bunch of other kind of country rocky big top 10 kind of bands. And he's a very in-demand session guy. And he was in Smash Mouth. Like, he plays on all those hits that you hear, you know,
really quiet in the background over the sound system when you're at Walmart, that kind of music. I mean, I'm kind of making fun of it, but it's kind of great music. And it's like, it made him a mint of money, and he's always employed. Like, that guy is always booked years in advance for tours and stuff, and for recording. So I was playing this gig with him at this place called the Hotel Utah in San Francisco. That's about the size of my living room, and my living room is not particularly large. And this guy, let's call him Brian, was there. Brian is a better drummer than Michael Urbano. Michael Urbano is a great drummer, but Brian is just jaw-droppingly amazing drummer. And Brian was like, man, you got Michael Urbano playing with you. That's so cool, man. Man, I would love to be as employed as he is. And it's like, it kind of hit me right then. Like, if you're not good at something, you're not going to make money at it. But if you're really good at it and you're really easy to work with, you're going to make more money at it and have more work at it than if you're amazing at it and not very reliable or hard to get along with, which Brian was kind of flaky and late. And mainly, even when he wasn't late, he just tended to like argue with people that were hiring him, you know? So that was kind of my thing of like, people who want to make a living at something should really learn from that lesson, I think, of it's a lot more. It is about talent, but it's about talent and people skills. And, you know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, if your talent is 8 and your people skills are 10, you're going to be more employed than if your talent is 10 and your people skills are 5.
Oh, I mean, I know photographers that have like 2 in the talent department and people skills of 10, and they are making a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep. Although there is in any form of art, the rare individual who has a talent of like 45 on a scale of 1 to 10 and has a people skill level of like -45.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just impossible to work with and they become a star. But, that is despite themselves. That is the 1 in a billion exception to the rule. And it used to be more like that than it is now, especially because the tools to make all art, whether it's photography or music, recording music, prints, Photoshop, photo manipulation, anything, drawing, the computers have made the tools so cheap that there's way more competition than there ever was. So there are more people who previously would have risen to the level of adequate but never did before because they wouldn't have been able to afford the tools to start out with, who are now getting to the point of adequate and then maybe a little bit better. So out of that larger pool of people, there's going to be a lot more people who actually have some people skills.
Yeah, a lot of it's about internet too, because now you can disseminate anything online and you can become famous just from having funny YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, but I think that the thing that people are famous for these days, some of it is not funny or should be made famous.
Well, I have a saying, which is do everything as if it's going to be the only thing you'll ever be known for.
Yeah, that does make sense. There are a lot of people out there that I'm sure don't want to be known for things that they're known for.
Well, I can give you an example. I have a bunch of videos I've made that are on YouTube. It's not what I do. I write books and I make movies and I do radio, but I also, like everybody else, everybody else does all that now except the radio, but on real radio. Everyone does internet radio, and I want everyone to do internet radio and real radio. I'm trying to replace myself. You know, Randy said last night, like I was telling, you know, how this is like the libertarian J school, the journalism school, this show. Yeah. And he's like, man, you must not have an ego. You're trying to replace yourself. And I'm like, I have a huge ego and I want to be remembered as the guy who trained the next 10 greats.
Yeah.
You know, that's doesn't mean I don't have an ego.
You will live on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Even if Definitely. It's just in a footnote in their biography of like, and special thanks to the guy who gave me my first break and told me how to not sound horrible over a cell phone. Yeah. So here's an example, like all the YouTube videos that I've done, YouTube videos that like I have painstakingly worked on every frame for months. And, you know, they were an artistic statement and they have, you know, 800 views after a couple of years. I have a video on YouTube that has 350,000 views. And nice. It is and I did not put advertising on it. And I don't mind that I didn't. You know, I probably would have made $1,000 by now or $500 by now if I had, but I didn't. And the video is called How to Shoot a Handgun Faster and More Accurately, or How to Shoot a Glock Faster and More Accurately. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't even, I'm not the teacher in it. Basically, I was at the Free State Wyoming Hootenanny, which is kind of like Pork Fest in Wyoming, a smaller version of it for the Free State mm-hmm. Wyoming people. And we were there a day early, and they have a 1,000-yard rifle range on this guy's property. It's awesome. And there was this, I was shooting my Glock and my wife was shooting her Glock, and this guy came over and said, hey, do you want me to show you something about how to shoot that better? And I was like, sure, man, free gun lessons, whatever, you know? And he showed me like two things, and it took like 60 seconds, and it made me a better shot. And I said, that was really good. Can I film you doing that and put it on YouTube? I'm not going to make any money off it. I'll link you. I'll put your name, you know, whatever. And, he's like, sure. And here's the thing, like, because I've spent years filming people and doing audio, I did it really quick, but it's really good imagery and it's got really good audio. If mm-hmm. it didn't have that, I mean, nobody notices that. None of the comments in it are, oh, excellent audio. But, if it had crappy audio and didn't look visually really, really good and clear, it would not have 350,000 views. It would probably have 30,000 views. You know, it just makes it that much easier for people to consume media.
That's important. I mean, when I do photographs of my items on Etsy, I take really sharp photos because that's important.
Yeah. And I had no idea it would get 350,000 views. I thought it would get 1,000 views in a couple of years, and I would be happy with that. Cause I was just, you know, I was on vacation and I was like, it was kind of like vacation footage to me, but, you know, so people steal your images sometimes, huh? Or steal your work?
There's definitely been some reproductions of my earrings made, but I've just kind of learned to get over it.
Isn't imitation the best form of flattery, they say?
No, I think it's laziness, but I do now. I made this cute little seal that I put on my images, and it says, Nikki Darling, super duper original, just to kind of let people know that, you know, it's the original.
Super duper original. I like that. That's like, that's, you know how like government-controlled intellectual property law always sounds like, we will rape you in prison if you copy this. Like, you sit down with your loved ones to watch a movie and you have to look at this FBI warning that threatens prison. Yeah. And it's like, that kind of sounds to me like the non-threatening, like, hey, don't copy this, but it's super duper. I like that a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to let people know, you know, I came up with this idea, but go ahead and get your fakes if you want, because that's cool. Nobody wants to go out and spend a ton of money on like a Louis Vuitton handbag, so they want to go get the fakes. Fine, whatever. That's cool.
Did you know that you can take a photograph and then make a digital hash of it, which is a number that's unique? It kind of looks like a Bitcoin number. And you can put it in the Namecoin blockchain, and it'll prove that you came up with it first.
We'll
be back with more. I'm Michael Dean After Dark.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Good evening. This is Michael Dean After Dark. I'm using my inside voice. I'm using my nighttime voice. The reason I'm using my nighttime voice is because
my wife is asleep, and I don't want to wake her up. So I'm talking very kind of late night jazz after dark. How are you doing there, Nikki, darling?
I'm doing great, trying not to wake up my dogs.
You got a boyfriend in Canada or something, right?
No.
I'm kidding. That's the joke. What is that from? There's some like running joke of like, oh yeah, I have a girlfriend. She's in, Canada. That's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't.
No, you have a real boyfriend. I've talked to him. Haven't I?
Yes. He's awesome.
Yeah. Who is he?
I don't want to say his name.
Okay. All right. It's not like you don't do a show with him like Stephanie Murphy does a show with her boyfriend.
No, he actually has really no affiliation with the Liberty community, even though he wants to. He just doesn't. He doesn't like Facebook. He's off of Facebook.
I'm somebody in Liberty, and I'm not really on Facebook.
No, but you pop on once in a while.
No, I don't. That's my robots.
Okay. You're right.
I left Facebook a couple years ago. I had 3,500 so-called friends on there, and it was a big time suck, and I also didn't like the way that Facebook was changing its algorithm, so I left. I snuck back on, but I'm not really on there, and here's what I mean by that. Basically, the only reason I have an account on there, and it's not my real name, and I'm not going to say what the name is, and I have like four friends on there. You're one of them. Probably only have friends on there because they figured out who I was because they know me really well. And based on things I posted, they went, oh, that's Michael Dean, and added me as a friend. And I said, okay, why not?
Yeah.
So, nice. But the only reason I have an account on there now is because there's an app called RSS Graffiti on Facebook, which you can use to automate posting updates from a blog directly onto your Facebook a page you administer. So the Freedom Fiend site, basically there's three other guys that run it, and I got sick of emailing them every time we did a new Freedom Fiends post and saying, please put this on Facebook. So I went back there myself and would just go on to post and not read anything, you know, just one way communication, like most of what I do. And then I found out there was this app, RSS Graffiti, where you can automate it. You can just put in an RSS feed, and it just automatically posts your posts about a half hour after you do. They go on to Facebook. So, and then I go on there about, every 4 days and just see what people are saying about the Freedom Fiends. And I think Nikki Darling is the only person I'm subscribed to on there. So I get her updates, and I get to jump into her pod beef. And if you want to call in, the phone number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. So, Nikki.
Yes.
What makes you happy?
The thought of Pork Fest coming up. I know. I'm so excited.
It's so cool.
It's like the only thing I look forward to.
The only thing?
Well, one of them. It's really sad.
Why is that sad? I mean,
because it makes it sound like I don't have anything else going on.
You have a lot going
life.
On. You have a lot going on.
Yeah, I kind of do. But I mean, bringing up the whole Facebook issue again, do you feel that people who spend a lot of time on Facebook are there's something wrong with them?
No, I feel like they are not reaching their full potential because they're on their weenying about things all day. And I will say this, the only times I know about you being upset, it's about something on Facebook.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to also realize where I live and how hard it is to make like-minded friends where I live. I mean, obviously from what you know of what happened to me today, it's really hard to find those people. So I find them on Facebook.
What do you mean what happened today?
Well, as in just the little incident I had with someone who doesn't like me because of some photography I've taken.
All right. Well, that's I had no idea. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but we're on the radio. You forget that. You think we're just Skyping each other as friends, which, you know, we do sometimes. But no, there's people listening. There's thousands of people listening. So you have to explain what you're talking about. And you did. You said it was do you want to go into it? Do you want to talk about it?
We could just a little bit.
In a brief way.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, I happened to take some activist photos in my past at a Ron Paul rally, and somebody saw them and decided that they didn't want to use me as a photographer, which is fine. That's their right. But it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit because I was just like, who do you think I am? Exactly. I guess maybe Ron Paul is seen as this terrible person. So
that's hilarious, man. And it's funny, like, everything that those people think is extreme about Ron Paul, I think Ron Paul is too mild on. But yeah. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the market.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Hold your kitties tight. Hold your kitties tight. Yeah. This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean After Dark. And, yeah, man. It's Michael Dean. It's After Dark. Got my late night voice on because I'm trying not to wake up the wife. Kind of makes me sound sexy, I think. Or retarded. I'm not sure which. Can I use those words on the radio? Sexy and retarded? Nikki tried to send me to a site with sexy retarded people, and I didn't want to see it. I don't need to
see
that.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
So, House of Cards, man. Let's get the tyranny out of the way, and then we'll talk about how great the show is. So, House of Cards is a great show that's created by the internet. It's not created by a TV network. It's the internet makes it. It's on Netflix. And it's great, because that's going to replace TV, because TV is just really, really horrible, except for Breaking Bad and a couple other shows. I'm watching House now. I kind of like House. I need shows that I can watch streaming and that there exist like 8 seasons of them. Because if I like something, I just watch it every spare minute that I'm not doing Liberty stuff. Because I have to, you know, I got to let my brain rest. I like stuff that doesn't require suspension of statism. Like, there's a lot of good cop shows because there's a lot of good drama and writers in cop shows, but man, the cops are always the good guys in some way, and I don't like it.
You think of The Shield, though, since you're from LA?
I loved it. It was really weird because I lived there when I was watching it, when it was live, when new episodes were coming out, and it was filmed in my neighborhood, and it was filmed with people I saw every day. Like, I knew a couple people that were extras in it, but mainly like, I went to AA meetings with, like, you know, 100 people, and like 10 of them are extras in the background on The Shield. It was just weird. And like,
did you see Southland also?
Yeah,
that was good too.
Southland is really good, but Southland does a little bit more of a job somehow of usually disguising where they're filming in LA. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but they do a lot more close-up shots, and they don't show establishing shots. Like, The Shield, I'm like, that's the taco. They're sitting at the taco restaurant I ate at yesterday. You know, they're standing by that schoolyard doing a drug deal that I go by every day. Just, it was so weird, man. It was like my neighborhood, East LA, Echo Park. Echo Park, LA is where that's filmed mostly. So
I kind of felt like Southland highlighted actually good cops in a way. I liked that in a way.
Well, it highlighted, I mean, this is kind of the classic. You know, before cop shows in the 50s and 60s and 70s were like good guy, Boy Scout cops doing right. And they were really one dimensional. And then movies like Serpico came out. Like, I mentioned that, you know, the two 70s drug movies I mentioned when I wrote that Sheriff Today were very specifically picked because not only would they have had 70s drug bags in them, they also were movies that had corrupt, drug-taking, violent, stealing, bribe-taking, drug-dealing cops in them. And I kind of wanted to, like, make a poke at him about that, so I said that. But, you know, Serpico, I guess Dirty Harry is probably one of the first cop movies that the Dirty Harry series and Serpico and French Connection were early 70s cop movies that kind of blurred the line and always like raised the question of like, you know, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. Cause you would have like criminals that were horrible, but you'd have criminals that also like, you know, loved their family. Like the Godfather did that too. Like the mafia guys who just loved their family. And the 70s cop movies, like they started to introduce things like, okay, the cop's an alcoholic and his wife's cheating on him. Like they would introduce real personal problems that real people have to make the cops not just be one dimensional.
Yeah, and that's what's good about House of Cards as well. The personal relationships that you get to see.
I don't know. There's a lot of complexity in the writing and the character development in House of Cards, but nobody's likable in that whole series.
No, of course not. No, my boyfriend gets so angry when we're watching it. I mean, he thinks it's a great show, but he's just like, oh, it's so grimy. Let's move right now.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, to me, it just confirms, even in fiction, it confirms everything I believe about politicians, that they, you know, secretly strangle dogs and have three ways in the White House and, you know, have sex with their help with their wife and, you know, run over their opponents and get away with murder, literally. Yeah. So, but the thing is, there's statists that watch that movie and love it, especially Democrats. They're like, well, at least they're on our side. They're Democrats and they get things done. You know, and I'm like, really? You're that twisted to feel that way?
Yeah, I've heard some people say, like in the Washington City paper, that they love the show because it's being filmed here in D.C. and it's just like, ugh.
Barack Obama said he wants Congress to be more like Frank Underwood.
Really?
Yeah, he said that. So isn't some of it filmed in Maryland, which is basically D.C. North?
Yeah, I believe they made some sound stages out by Baltimore.
And they're threatening to seize their property if they don't keep filming there. Man, talk about
exactly
monopoly violence. You know, that's the state acting like the state against a show that's portraying the evil of the state. That's funny. That's kind of meta.
I believe the show was getting tax credits before just so they would film in Maryland, but now Maryland's trying to take those away. So House of Cards is like, oh, we'll go to Virginia where they'll give us tax credits. And they're like, no, no, no.
They'll go to Virginia where we can actually run around with guns without a permit.
Yeah, well, that's getting harder now, too.
Is it? Why? How?
Well, I mean, I don't consider Northern Virginia to be any part
of
Virginia.
It's yeah, D.C. Well, if you look at the triangle, it's like, Virginia really, I mean, the diamond that is D.C., it kind of looks like Virginia should be part of it.
Yeah. It's just the attitude of people there, too.
I used to live in Arlington.
Yeah, Arlington's the worst. It's just, you can't find parking. I don't like it.
Good punk rock, though.
Well, they used to have, D.C. and Virginia used to have good punk
rock. Well, Discord Records is still in Arlington.
Yeah, it's right next to the 7-Eleven.
Yep. Actually, it started in the house across from the 7-Eleven, and they still live. Ian and a couple of them still live there. But they actually bought the basement below the 7-Eleven because they expanded and didn't have room in the house.
Yeah, I love Fugazi, and I got to be on stage during their last show at Fort Reno Park. It was like one of the highlights of my life.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I took some pictures, too.
You ever seen my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist?
No, I keep meaning to watch it.
You got
to
see that movie. That'll solve all your issues right there.
I hope so.
It's 55 minutes long. You should watch it as soon as we're done. Go on YouTube. It's all on there, man.
Okay.
Yeah, Ian is in it, and there's some amazing old school Fugazi footage that's really well filmed and recorded of two like amazing performances at the Wilson Center.
Okay.
It's like, the whole crowd is like dancing up and down like one person. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I saw them play at the Wilson Center once before too. It's just, there's nothing like a good DC punk show. It just, you can't beat
Man,
it.
Man, I used to play a lot of shows in DC. I played there. DC Space, is DC Space still there?
No.
How about the 930 so. Club?
That is definitely. Yeah.
Well, it's moved to WUST Hall. I've been to there. I saw Dead Kennedys and Butthole Surfers there. But I played at the old space when it was at 930 F Street, which is literally the address where the Ford Theater was, where Lincoln was shot. So that's kind of a cool place to play.
Okay, yeah. 930 historically. 930 is in a huge space now, but then there was also the Black Cat, which, as you know, is
Dante.
Half owned by Dave Grohl.
And the other half's owned by Dante from Iron Cross.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've played a gig with Iron Cross. My old band, The Day I Lost My Virginity, played with Iron Cross at a place called, oh God, Carmichael's near DuPont Circle.
Huh.
I don't think they have bands there anymore. It was like, you know, a lot of places have bands for a couple weeks or a couple months until somebody breaks something. And this place looked way too nice to have punk bands. It was like, it looked like a yuppie fern bar with like crushed velvet chair, you know, seats.
Yeah, that's DuPont Circle for you.
DuPont Circle. Ooh.
Yeah. But now the new place in DC is the down by the train station, H Street, is huge. They even put like a light rail. There's all these bars there, and you go block to block, and it's like dangerous, safe, dangerous, safe. I mean, you should carry a gun when you walk around there.
You can't, though. Talk about dangerous. When I lived there, I was homeless for a while and had a job. Like, that's the kind of punk rocker I was. I was homeless, but I had a job. I worked at Prospect Street and Wisconsin Avenue at the Naturally Yours restaurant. I don't know if it's still there. They had one at DuPont Circle there that I know is still there. But I think it's really weird near where Eddie Free lives, because there's a video he did of him coming out of his house. And I'm like, I think that's the block I used to work on, or one block up from it.
But, well, I don't want to say where he lives on air, but I can tell you, ironically, there is a red light camera right in front of his house.
Well, I'm not saying anything that's not public on the internet. There is a thing he put up of him walking out of his house.
Okay.
So, you know, you can tell about where it is. But and the government knows where he is anyway. So and he doesn't have any haters. He's full of love, man. Everybody loves Eddie Free.
Yeah.
And I hope he's going to be at I don't know if I hope he's going to be at Porkfest from what I've heard, but
will be, but yeah, he'll be partying hard.
Oh, I'm going to have to handcuff him. I'm going to have to make a citizen's arrest if he gets out of hand. Nah, I'm not going to interfere with his fun. I'll just run away.
Porkfest will be a different experience for you, I tell you what. Especially if you're used to kind of being in your hermit cave there.
Man, I've been to Grateful Dead shows and punk rock shows, and it looks about half, and gun shows, so it looks about halfway between all three of them.
Yeah, well, I hope you're not staying in the Agora Valley area, because it's loud all night long.
I'm not saying where I'm staying, but I'm not camping.
Oh, okay. Well, lucky you.
You think I camp? Good. Come on,
you'll
man.
Have a shower, which will be great. You should just like give tickets out and have people pay you $10 for a shower.
No, man. No, I want to get away. Okay. I'm not sharing the wealth. I'm spending all my wealth to go there, man. It's we're gonna be out like $3,000 for the whole trip. It's unreal.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
But
well, you're gonna be doing the show from there, right?
Yeah.
Yay! Yeah. Can I at least be on one night?
Yeah, you and the other 40 people that walk by can be on.
Okay, cool.
I'm not gonna have co-hosts like in writing for that week. It's just gonna be, you know, kind of like how Free Talk Live just says, "Hey, you want to be on radio?" You know,
that's a great idea. Actually,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And it's gonna be from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., which is when like only the drunk, crazy people are still awake. So it'll be fun.
Oh no, you better put up "Do Not Curse" signs everywhere.
I'm gonna have a cattle prod, man. Forget the cuss stump button. I'm going to have the taser. Like, I'll have them sign a contract. Like, I'll interview you, but if you cuss, I'm going to taser you. Somebody might like that, though.
Well, as libertarians, we love contracts, so that'll be okay.
The social contract. But can an intoxicated, heavily intoxicated person actually sign a contract ethically? They can't legally.
Well, but I think ethically, sure, it's your fault you went and got drunk.
You know, the thing is, if you couldn't legally enforce a contract that's signed while intoxicated on anything, the entire music industry would fall apart.
Yeah, probably.
We'll be back with more with the final segment of Michael Dean After Dark with Nikki Darling from Eatsy. Go to Eatsy and go to Nikki Darling Art. Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hug your kitty cats tight. Michael Dean After Dark. And I want to do a shout out here to a new station, Lakeshore 1650 in Rowlett, Texas, the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area. And they're good friends of ours, and they play the Freedom Fiends, and they also now play Michael Dean After Dark. So we're talking about Texas here, Nikki and I were during the break. That's a station in Texas, and Nikki's having some beer or whiskey or something. I can't tell the difference. It's been 20 years since I've had a drink, beer or whiskey.
It's brown.
Yeah, and it's not from Texas. It's from Bowling Green, Ohio, but it has a Texas name. What's the name?
Sam Houston, and it's from Bowling Green, Kentucky, where a good whiskey should come from.
That's a college town, man. How can that be a whiskey town?
I don't know. If it's from whiskey, I'll buy it. Well, I think
I think what it is these days, if you get a college education, you have to go get a job making whiskey when you're done to pay it
off. I bet that's a fun job.
It sounds more fun than it is. It's like software game tester sounds like a fun job, but it's really tedious. We're going to go to the phones. We got someone calling from Texas. Speaking of Texas, we have a trifecta of Texas here. We got Nathan calling from Texas. Are you there, Nathan?
I am. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind, Nathan?
Well, sorry to call two nights in a row, but you said something about Pork Fest that got my hackles up.
All right. And are you going to go buy a good microphone if you're going to keep calling in?
Well, I have a microphone for my computer, but since it connects Skype, I can't call unless you have me on Skype.
Well, I'd have you on Skype. So next time you got to call on Skype on Kitty Feet One on Skype. But go ahead.
Well, if it shows a little question mark, doesn't that mean it's not added?
Have you sent a request?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'll add you after the show. So what's up, man?
Well, I'd like to know a little more about that $3,000 figure, because that's not what I budgeted for my trip up there. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm leaving something out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was a liar. That's what it sounded like.
No, he's paying way too much.
Well, we got two plane tickets round trip. That's just under $1,000. Like with the baggage fees, that's going to be $1,000. We got six nights in a hotel. I don't remember what that was. It was probably 100-something a night. We got a nice hotel.
Right.
We got a hotel that people get married in and presidents have stayed in. Here's the thing. Okay. I've been married 8 years. My wife and I did not get a honeymoon. This is pretty much our honeymoon. We didn't get a honeymoon because my daughter died right after we got married. So instead of having a honeymoon, I went to a funeral. And I'm kind of like, we're making this up to me and her by having this be our honeymoon. So we're going all out.
Nice.
We are having to drive down to Denver because we live in Casper, Wyoming, but we're driving 4 hours to Denver each way, because it's a lot cheaper to fly out of Denver. So we're flying out of Denver, and then we're going to have to park the car for a week in Denver, and we're going to have to stay in a hotel in Denver one night on the way back, because we get back in the middle of the night and we're not going to drive. We're going to be too tired. And we're hiring a cat sitter and house sitter while we're gone. I mean, it's basically a cat sitter, but you know, we're paying them a little bit. And that doesn't even touch, you know, food or buying any like hippie scarves or anything at at the Pork Fest, man.
Okay, that's
what are the going rates for a cat sitter?
What are the going rates for a cat sitter? Probably about $150 for the week if we want to get someone that's not going to accidentally or intentionally kill the cats and will actually spend a bunch of time sleep. They're going to be staying here, basically.
Nice.
They're going to be watching. They're a house sitter too, you know. We need somebody here with a gun to keep an eye on the house. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I just figured everybody in one.
What's that, Nathan?
I thought I was going to let Nikki talk. That sounds interesting. I'm not 100% sure I'll be able to make it, but I'm glad it won't run way over the budget that I projected.
No, I mean, if you wanted to do it on the cheap, you could do it for the price of a Pork Fest entry and a sleeping bag and a box of bacon.
Yeah, drive.
Thanks for your call, Nathan. All right. Say worms, Nikki. It's been a good show.
Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark.
I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.